This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
John was making fun of me too. He's like, "You say the craziest shit, bro." It's like, I wish we could just video record it and just keep it for like prosperity for the human race. Thanks, man.
I'll be here all week.
Dude, we walk into the bathroom. There's the three of us. It's like, please be a three-person urinal. Please be a three-person urinal. And we start peeing. I'm like, ooh. John, you got a great stream there. It's like, Brian, I can't hear your stream at all. You got to put some oomph behind it and it gets a better stream. And then I like start talking like that. Like, just like, John, have you been working out? And John's like, a little bit. I'm like, he's like, why? And I'm like, because your urine stream is fucking stellar, bro. Like, just off the wall shit. And they're laughing. And then anyways, there's like one or two people in the stalls. How big a boy are you over there?
Rorty Mercer.
But I was just stoned enough to have like this conversation with them, being in between them, you know, like peeing and talking. I was like, oh man, this is fun. But I don't know. Oh, man, that first game was bullshit. We got, all
right. Right, bro, we got two games to talk about, right?
Yeah, so that first game though, which I mean, let's just call it the way it was a complete ass whooping. I mean, we got our
but before you go on to talk about, because we did get our ass whooped, but let's talk positives.
let's just leave the Pistons Jalen out. Right.
Jalen Hort, 20 rebounds, bro. Oh,
that's right, dude.
20 fucking rebounds, God, bro. Like, what the hell? So
and then you got that
pretty cool
and then
thing.
You got Poku's, wasn't it Poku that almost gets, well, Poku wasn't, yeah, he was. Where's Poku? He wasn't playing in the Pistons game. He was playing the game before he got the near triple double in the Hawks game, you know? Like, we're seeing this team and some of these guys do some great things. We saw, like you said, it Hort, who plays power forward at a small forward size, right?
Right.
You have Maledon, 6 assists, 28 points. You have off the bench, you have Lindy Waters with 16 points. Like, I felt like this is a strong, strong game by these guys.
Right. But in the end, we got our ass kicked, and there's nothing we can say about that. Like, it wasn't pretty, but I mean, that shit's going to happen sometimes. But here's the thing I'd say about the Detroit game that I really want to talk about before we move on to the Suns game, which was much, much, much better. But you usually watch the opposing team's broadcast.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw this, but the Thunder's team broadcast, they showed they're beginning this new Thunder network of former players, right? Yep. And they had the former players there. Did you see any
of
this?
Yeah, I did. It was beautiful, man.
Okay. Yeah, Nick Collison. Yep. Wilcox, they had Aldrich, they and who looked totally, I could not guess who that was forever.
I was like, who is he?
Former Nene Kristic, like that one I guessed, yeah. And I was so proud of myself because I was like, I couldn't see
it. When
they
interviewed him and they asked him, like, it was really great to hear him talk about why he came to back because it's where his daughter was born and he wanted to show her the places that meant so much to him. And like, dude, it meant something, bro.
Yeah, dude, it made me very proud. It made me very proud of the Thunder and the impact that they had. And it also gave me a really strong feeling of like what we're establishing now. A number of these guys won't be here in a number of years, right? We know that. But they're gonna be connected in some way to the organization, and that's meaningful. And on top of that, Théo Maledon put up 28 points. I pulled up the stats real fast just to make sure I wasn't missing anything. And, yeah, we don't want to forget to mention Théo is 28. really good job by Teo, and he's been playing really good for us consistently. But we lost the game by 9 points, and there were moments in the game when it wasn't even that close. So it was not the game that you want to have against a team that's obviously in rebuilding mode. And but, you know, we're short on guys, and that same group of guys came out and played a completely different game yesterday. And what they did was amazing. You got to give them a tremendous amount of credit, because there's nothing easy or given when you're playing a team at the level of the Suns. So let's talk about that game, bro. What'd you like about that game?
Yeah, the game ended at 96-117. You know, there was a lot of guys that were on the bench besides Chris Paul. I think he was the only starter that was out there for them, and he just got back from injury, so they're trying to get him ready for the playoffs. So, you know, this is one of those things where we had to play, you know, what we know how to play, hard and ready to go. Because to me, looking at it, if we just play the style of basketball that we're so good at, we have a lot of teams that we can pull some wins off here. With in the first quarter, I was listening to the opposite broadcast, like you were mentioning, I do. 27 points, man, to 20. Like, it was really rough. And you had the other announcers talking about how the Thunder just aren't going to be in the same league as them. Just, you know, just the way things are. You know,
yeah, it felt like we were going to get run out of the
gym. It felt like that, bro. I mean, it just had this like impending doom feeling. And then that second quarter, we came back, and at halftime, it was only a 1-point game. We had taken the lead,
right,
I think, just prior to that. And like, to me, it kind of got to the point where, like, listening to the other broadcasts, I love doing, and the reason I love doing it, it brings a lot of different insight. But the reality is that you get those runs where the Thunder go on these crazy, horrible, non-scoring runs, or where other teams go on just insane runs, and all you get to hear is just how young this team is. And it just is a good reminder of how well they are coached. Because, like, the reality is that we were down by 7 by a very seasoned team, and we had, again, 8 guys playing full minutes, and JRE only played 15 minutes. And in that first quarter, first rotation, JRE scored 11 points. I mean, dude, it was impressive. It was nice to see how these guys are all playing together. You know, you mentioned Jalen Horde the other night. He had a very, very quiet game with only 4 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. But it's the reality of what these guys are doing that's so impressive. Lindy Waters, 10 points. But we could talk about all the players, but we would be remiss not to sit here and just, like, pour out some love towards Livia Sarr. Like, he became what I would consider a man. The way that he was finishing, the way that he was doing all these other things that I kept on saying, he needs to finish like that all the time. And if he does that, he's going to be one of the better postmen in the league. But the thing is that it's the inconsistency that he doesn't do it all the time. But last night, Mark, he went to the hole. He hit his shots. Like, he was a man amongst boys out there, and it was really fucking impressive. 24 points, 22 minutes, 6 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive, 1 assist, 2 blocks, 5 for 6 for 3-pointers, and 9 for 12 on field goals. He was unbelievable. I got to say, so many positive things about him, but I'll throw it back to you. How did you feel that his game impacted last night, and can he carry that over into multiple games here?
You know, this reminds me of, like, last year when we saw Poku in the G League, and he was, you know, at that point teamed up with a different 7-footer. You'll have to remind me his name, but he's Moses. With the Mavericks
Moses.
Right now.
No,
Moses
he's
Brown,
actually over,
right.
Not with the Mavericks. He got, I want to say Pelicans or something like that, or New York or whatever. I don't even know.
So he was with the Mavericks the last time I saw him. But he, you know, we saw this combination, and our buddy Dakota was like, yo, Poku and Brown, you know, those two guys, 7-footers running pick and roll is beautiful. And I started watching some of that G League footage, and it was true. But then we lost Moses Brown. But here we are. We have a second 7-footer, Olivier Sarr. And when they run that pick and roll, it really forces teams into bad positions. If they double Poku, he's a good enough passer. And, you know, we saw Poku go crazy. So, yeah, like, Sarr, he's got the pick and pop. He's got the pick and roll. He's got so many different things. He sets really solid screens. And because he can knock down that three, which has gone from a novelty shot to something that is great. And he even knocked down an and-one three. So you've got to respect the hell out of his game. Like, Sarr did so many good things. Our whole bench unit did, right? We had three guys off the bench in double figures. Sarr with 24, Waters with 10, and JRE with 14. You mentioned all those guys already. The one thing I'd add about JRE is I've noticed that with this lineup that we have, which is we played nine guys, but since he's limited in minutes, it's really kind of like an eight-man rotation in a lot of ways. Like, JRE has been playing a lot at the four, and even a stretch four at that. So
they're
brings
him
back
healthy.
To our last conversation. You were asking me, is JRE a five still, or has he transitioned to a four? And I was like, he's still the five. Roby will come off the bench. This is what I said last time, but I feel like I need to take that back. I'm like, he can play the four. Will he play the four? I don't know, but he's good enough to play the four. JRE out there with Sarr. Sarr's at the five. JRE's at the four. JRE out there with Roby. Same situation. So I just feel like overwhelmed by his level of game. And when you look at this one factor, Sarr went 5 for 6 from deep. JRE went 3 for 4. So our bench 4 and 5 went, 8 for 10 on three-pointers? Like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yeah, man, and this goes right back. I love what you're saying about JRE's and Isaiah Roby and playing that 4 and 5 position. I'm going to go right back to it because this is something we've talked a lot about, and I want to kind of clarify what my vision of what's happening here. And I could be totally off, and this could be something that I'm just off case here, but what's the difference between the 4 and 5 position and the new Oklahoma City Thunder team?
Well,
is it
in some ways they're interchangeable, but we do play a lot of 4 out, 1 in.
We play a lot of soft zone. We play a lot of these different things that hide the small big men that we have. So looking at Isaiah Roby, power forward on any team in the NBA mostly. JRE, power forward most teams. You know, we could go down our list of the other guys that play power forward or even big men. These are the guys that are you know, playing our power forward and center position. So I think they intertwine. And I think that the new system of what we're seeing this team play is more like a rotation of JRE is playing power forward in the forward position most of the time, but he is also forced to play the five position a slight amount of time because that's what happens with a rotation. And to me, depending on what his rotation looks like, is how much time he plays at the five. And I don't think they want to play JRE at the five a lot right now. I think they want to limit his minutes because it's the physical contact I think is hurting him. And I personally would look at it like play him at the power forward, again, not passing that 20-minute mark at all and letting him get as many minutes as we possibly can for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then when you see a guy like Poku, who, once again, we've buried the lead. Poku goes for his first triple-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. But he started at forward. He plays center whenever coach decides to go there. But his best moments, his best minutes today were from point guard. There were some great passes that you need to watch. If you have 12 assists, you're going to have some great passes. But his no-look passes, the things that he does out in the fast break, I told you this before, but I feel like it's an N1 mixtape out there, and he's a 7-footer. He's playing at full speed. His three that he knocked down going into, I think, halftime, he dribbled up, knocked it down from, you know, the just in front of the logo, and then to start the third quarter, he knocked one down from the logo or just in front of the logo again, a little bit deeper. So he's a problem, right? And it's been incredible to watch Poku's progression. I feel like as one of the biggest owners of his top shot moment, fuck yeah, bro.
Yeah, and I love how the team responded to him doing it. You know, I loved how the team after the game circled him, dumped the water on him. I know it's probably a little bit.
That was so fun.
Yeah. Like, to me, like, this is the little things that we're getting excited
Somebody
about.
Somebody should tell
team.
Them that we're tanking because they look like they're having fun.
But here's the thing about it, man. Like, I'm sitting here looking at the standings, right? So Detroit won earlier in the day. So this is a free game for us to win. Like, the reality is that we're ahead, half a game ahead of Detroit because we played one more game than Detroit. You know, once they play that other half a game, we're tied, and then they win the they've already beat us by enough points now that they've won the tiebreaker now. So, like, like, to me, this is exactly where we needed to be. It was a free win. Take the win. They're a great team. We saw this last year happen. Our last win of the season was against who? The Phoenix Suns. Or I think one of the last season wins of the season was against the Phoenix Suns, which is saying something because we, you know, played them really early in the season and won. So, but, you know, I have to say another thing is we've won 23 games. You know, like, you and I thought we would win 30 games this year. Not too far off. I know 7 wins is a lot, especially this year. But 30 wins definitely doesn't make us get us in the playoffs.
We can say 7 win difference. It's a big difference. We're not going to win any bets in Vegas or anything. But I'll tell you this right now. When John Hollinger and all the quote-unquote experts around the league stated that this was going to be one of the worst teams all time and had a chance to possibly not even win 10 games, bro, like, and we're sitting there saying 30. Yeah, I'd say that even though we didn't hit 30, we were a hell of a lot closer to Hollinger.
We got 5 games left. We've got
4.
4 games left. We got Lakers is winnable. Blazers is winnable. I mean, these are all games that are, in my opinion, that
we can cunt punt the Lakers one more time.
Dude, please let us cunt punt those Lakers, dude. Like, listen, anytime that we have a free, like, cunt punt, bro, I'm all for it.
Take it.
Shit, bro.
But, yo, the Blazers, bro, they got us last time, and so we got to get them back. The Jazz have been dropping games, and the Clippers, obviously, whatever, you know, that's going to be whatever. But, yeah, I mean, theoretically, we could go on a little bit of a winning streak here, and it doesn't matter because we're still not going to hit 30 games, but we're really proud of this team. They gave us a lot to be proud of. Aaron Wiggins is one of those guys that is just has blown us away this year. As a rookie, you would never think it from watching his game, but he tied for leading all the starters with 17 points. Leading all the scores was obviously Olivier Sarr with 24, but 17 for Wiggins, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 6-9 shooting. It's just outstanding that he can score 17 points on 9 shots and do it in such a graceful way. Like, that guy never gives up his dribble. He never finds himself in a bad spot. And when he does, he knows the outlet. So, like, in a weird way, like, if I were to compare his game to one player in the league right now, I would say somehow he's got this Chris Paul element to him where he can knock down that mid-range game. He knows how to, you know, find the open man at the last minute after he's left his feet, but he rarely leaves his feet without knowing where he's going to go. I think he's got so much control and so much potential. I remember in the past, I spent a lot of time really wishing that we could get Mikal Bridges. Dave, we used to talk about him all the time. I'm like, man, I think we could get him. Now he's good. I know that we're not going to be able to get him for nothing. But there was a while where the Suns were giving away wings like nothing, and it was like everybody got a wing if they wanted one. So I wanted Mikal Bridges. But when I look at Aaron Wiggins, I think this dude has the potential to be a better player than Mikal Bridges, and that means a lot to me.
Yeah, he's special, man. I can sit here and I can talk about the way that he controls the game, the way that he sees the game, the way he plays defense. It's special. It's unique. You know, we don't know where it's going. I mean, next year it could flop. He could get injured and that would be it. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think this young man is going to be around the NBA for a very long time. And we're just lucky that Sam Presti saw him. We're lucky that Sam Presti recognized what he could be. I mean, this whole team is really designed on Sam Presti's vision of what he believes. Like, look at Isaiah Roby, second rounder we traded for. Poku, right? 17th pick that needed a shit ton of time. Teo Maledon, second pick early on. And Aaron Wiggins, late 55th pick in the second round. Vit Krejci, he was hurt, right?
You did that right.
Yeah, right. I'm trying that. He was hurt, and he was in the second round. We picked him up. JRE, second rounder. We traded 2 early second round draft picks to get JRE. Lindy Waters, undrafted. Jalen Horde, undrafted. Sarr, undrafted. Kendrick Williams, undrafted. I mean, goes down the list. I mean, even Trey Mann. Trey Mann was sitting there in a great position, and the Pelicans drafted Murphy, right? Like, good job. But Trey Murphy, but here we are with Trey Mann. Like, these guys are all on the same precipice.
We took Trey Mann, and we managed to get an extra pick in the future draft for doing that because I forget who we traded with, but
Houston.
Sam Presti's just
Sengun.
Houston, yeah, yeah, so they could get him, whatever his name is. Like, I get it, he's good, but give me Trey Mann every single time. And Houston would not realize how much we love Trey Mann because they don't get it. Like, I get it. They don't get it. That's yeah. it. But, like, look, it's been great, man. Like, and you mentioned Roby and Krejci. They both put up 11 points. Really solid games. Horde put up 4. I really love what I saw. Like, Roby, 8 rebounds and 2 assists and 2 steals. And then Krejci, 6 rebounds and 8 assists. So these guys, what they represent to me is players who play the game in multiple facets, right? Everybody who played shot at least 1 3. Everybody who played got at least 1 rebound. Everybody who played, you know, was out there passing the ball and rotating the ball. We picked up a ton of assists as a team. Like, we picked up 33, and we've been doing this consistently. And it speaks to our coach's system. Like, Poku's interview after the game, it was like, you know, what happened out there? Well, we played our best game. We did because we trusted each other. And we have a bunch of people that a lot of people think, well, you know, these guys all played for the G League, and they don't have any respect for this team. Fine. We just went out there and beat the best team in the league by 20 points because we play as a team, and the skill sets that these guys have when they're playing well, they're really hard to stop. Like, you come up with a game plan to stop Poku and the Sar, you know, pick and roll when it's clicking. Like, I know it's right now, it's not like anybody's scared of it or anything, but when it's clicking, those passes can be on time and on target. And what we saw was alley-oop dunks finishing over, like, dude, Sar looked like Shaq out there because of the passes he was receiving from Poku, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, and we're just seeing the emergence of these young guys. We're seeing the vision of Sam Presti. We're seeing the phenomenal coaching of Coach D. It's all coming together. It's coming together at the end of the season like it's supposed to. Like, this is when we're supposed to see teams win games. And that's why I love seeing this team pull some wins out. Like, you know, you talked about you wanted to see one more win. We've got a couple more wins. And I said I felt like we could get 3 more wins before the end of the season. We're sitting really close to being able to get that. And that's what it's about. It's about going off on a high note. Sometimes that high note is given to you, like the Clippers did to us last year. But this year, we're taking that high note. We're making it our bitch, and it's been fun to see. Yeah, we don't have some of these guys. Yeah, we might not see Trey Mann the rest of the season, and we might be looking at these 9 guys as the main 9 guys to play. I still think that one of these guys will probably get injured, just the way it goes, a tweaked ankle or something like that. And we'll go down to 8 guys, and that is how we're going to end up the season. I'm okay with that because we play all well, we play hard, and our heart is out there. And we're going to play against teams that are just trying to get to the playoffs, you know, like the Jazz that are coming up. They're in a position that they don't really need to win many more games, you know, like they're pretty kind of set and content of where they're at. So that's where I'm kind of looking at it, is that there's a really great position for this team to come in and be where we're at. The Detroit Pistons and us, we're sitting in the same position, really, really tied. All the Detroit has to do is lose another game, and we're tied. I think this is powerful for this team. Get a couple more wins if we can. Detroit's doing it. Why not?
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, it's been a fun run. And, you know, when you mentioned that I said I wanted one more win, honestly, that was wishful thinking because just as easily, we could have lost all the remainder games that we have, especially when you drop a game like to Detroit. Like, there's no guarantees that you're going to be able to pull one off. And we beat the Blazers, but we beat them in overtime. And that was an incredible win. But now we see what we believed, which is when this team plays well, we can play with other teams. Like, this isn't the final product, but if this is our bench unit when we get all these players back, well, we're going to really like what we see out there. And it's not always going to be the same. Some players play better when they're starters and they don't adjust all the time, you know, in these, you know, when the rotations change. But from what we're watching, we're seeing the signs that we want to see. And it was fantastic to have Chris Paul back in the house and,
man, he got that, you know,
have
ovation.
All the other former players. Yeah, dude. So and his shoes. You know, shout out to OKC and the community. That's awesome.
Really? I didn't see his shoes. I don't know why I didn't see his shoes.
Yeah, he said, thank you, OKC.
Really? That's amazing,
yeah,
man.
Thank you for everything, something like
but,
that.
But, I mean,
yeah.
Think about it. Like, he goes after having a horrible time in Houston, right? Comes to Oklahoma City, yeah. Is able to stabilize, right? and then gets to pick where he goes and plays. Like, like he is one of the biggest advocates to Oklahoma City and for an aging veteran. Like, are you telling me that we're not going to be in conversations with the Los Angeles Lakers and other teams that have these old guys that are on the contracts that, you know, they're pretty much going to have to give away contracts to get away? Like, there's no reason why we won't be on LeBron James' list of people that he wants people to talk to, or Russ's list, because they know that we're going to take care of them and allow them to go where they want to go if it's not working out. And I think that's the difference between any other team and any other organization. We saw it happen after KD left, where he kind of talked some shit about Oklahoma City. And I think Sam Presti really took it to heart, because what we've seen since is something that's really incredibly beautiful. I love how he treats the fans, the players. It's just amazing, man. I'm really impressed with this season. And as we're sitting down with only a few games left, a handful of games, I can't help but have an incredibly proudful moment in recognizing that we're Oklahoma City Thunder fans. Like, we get to see an incredible organization do some amazing things and rebuild right in front of our eyes, and get to watch these players, man. We've got one more player, two more players that we're going to add that are going to be major pieces to this team, but everybody else is going to stay. That's what's powerful, man. That's what's so beautiful. That's what's so unbelievable about this team, is the community that they have built around it and the players that have come and have wanted to stay and play here. Man, it's fun. I'm excited.
And as I always say, let the critics bitch and moan. That's their role. They're always going to bitch and moan. We love what we're watching. We appreciate all the energy that goes into rebuilding this team, and we love seeing the foundation. And before we go, I just want to give a shout out to Dolly Buffalo. Major props for this Writer's Tears whiskey. Irish whiskey is the best whiskey. Thanks again, bro. And thank you for everybody listening. We're going to see you on Wednesday. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.